Welcome to the Inner Trends Podcast. Welcome to the future of mobility. Simply stay on track. So, welcome back to the Inner Trends Podcast here with our brand new episode. And today we got a guest, we got a premiere, we got the first professor actually joining us, Professor Dr. Siefkes. He's a major expert in the field of mobility, and he's working for an exhibitor where many of you may wonder, why are they actually exhibiting at Inner Trends? It's the German Aerospace Center. But first of all, as usual, I welcome now on show Kerstin Schulz, and she got to today a really cool topic. Hi, Kerstin.
Hi, Tim. How are you today?
Sunny and warm, and a bit. I feel it in my fingers. You know when there's this feeling in the fingers that you're that there's something going on. And with the topic, when you sent me the topic, there was this little feeling in my fingers, because we're talking now about the hackathon, the hack train. Kerstin, yeah. Can you tell us something about that?
Yeah, we had the first hack train hackathon at InnoTrans in 2018. There were around 80 hackers from 30 countries. They were working in a very short time. I think they had only 48 hours to present a solution for new innovations to the rail industry. And there was a team called Veggie on Rails, which is really funny because you think of cucumbers and carrots. But actually, they won the first place, and it's they developed a 3D modeling engine that is capable of automatically identifying overgrown vegetation that has the potential to damage track infrastructure. And I think it's very important, because when the driver is driving and there's a tree on the tracks, could be very dangerous, right?
It is indeed. It's a major issue. Like every time, for example, we have a huge storm, there's always the warning. And that is really impressive, frankly, that in 48 hours, there are people at InnoTrans gathering and willing to find a solution. So that's a really cool project. I hope we can have the leader, his title is Chief Executive Officer River Tamur Beg. I hope we can have him sometime soon, maybe at the InnoTrans Podcast as well, because it's a major topic. And I guess we will have the hack train again at InnoTrans 2022, Kerstin.
Yeah, right? I'm pretty sure.
And then maybe we have another big issues and topics. And one of the solutions could be about one of the topics we're having now at the interview with Professor Dr. Siefkes from the German Aerospace Center. So everybody who's interested in hacking, or maybe everyone who has a major issue, listen now to the interview and write us at podcast@innotrans.de. Maybe you have a topic that the hack train folks could solve at InnoTrans 2022. Maybe make your life easier, or our life, Kerstin. I mean, good connections with train is always important.
Yeah.
So thank you, Kerstin. It was nice having you here on show. And I guess now it's time for the Aerospace Center.
Yeah. Thank you, and have fun.
Bye.
Bye.
So today we have the German Aerospace Center, DLR, here at our InnoTrans Podcast. I welcome Tjaak Siefkes. Hello, nice to have you on show.
Well, welcome from my side.
So normally we start with the icebreaker InnoTrans intro questions, and I usually tell something. I could tell that you are now heading the new rail vehicles department at DLR, Institute of Vehicle Concepts, since November 2018. And I could also say that your department investigates how new technologies from the rail sector affect society, the economy, and the environment, and how they should be implemented. But first of all, Our usual podcast listener would say, what has the German Aerospace Center to do with the railway?
Yeah, first of all, it's the title of the organization, German Aerospace Center. So it deals with airplanes, of course, with aerospace research as well. But this is a large research organization with around about 10,000 employees. We deal with also on top with energy questions. We deal with traffic questions and overall. And I'm heading the Institute for Vehicle Concepts, not only focusing at the rail, but also at the road, overall vehicle concepts. And in my former job, I was, for example, 12 years head of innovation, head of product management, and head of all physical engineering at Bombardier Transportation. So I have a vast background of questions around railway as such. And that makes life very easy when moving to the DLR, leading this type of research as well.
And you also have an academic background. I guess it's a premiere for us. You're the first professor here, actually.
Right, yeah. So I'm teaching a railway at the Technical University of Berlin, and I'm teaching cars, so on-road traffic, vehicle concepts at the University of Stuttgart.
So you are highly expert. And because you're an expert, I would like to start with our first icebreaker question. You deal with vehicles in great detail in your professional work. I guess that's pretty clear now. What would you take for a spin? A Batmobile, a James Bond S. Martin, the Orient Express, or a Falcon 1?
That's a tough question, because if I had only to choose between these four, I guess I would take the Batmobile.
Batmobile.
Because I grew up with Batman and Robin as one of the major TV series when I was a kid at that time. And as a kid, of course, I was exploring the world. And I'm still fascinated in exploring it continuously. So that is what I would take. But if I would, have an open offer, then I would take for short distance trips our own hydrogen car named SLRV, a small light vehicle. And for the long distance, of course, our next generation high-speed train. Believing in what is built by ourselves is, of course, then the best.
So we talk about that maybe later, but you're a professor and you would take the Batmobile. Is the Batmobile something that could really be part of the change of mobility, or is it some kind of not really usable?
No, the Batmobile is just a link for me to my childhood, where I was open, curious, entering the world. And as a researcher, I still keep this kind of attitude, be open, be fascinated by what is going on, and still exploring the world and trying to make it better.
You're still curious, that's good, because you write a lot of papers as a researcher. But if you have to write a novel, and not a paper, what would be the subject of your novel, and what would be the title?
Maybe let's talk a little bit about my hobby there. I'm interested in the subject of evolution.
Okay.
So I would write a novel about evolution, but linking it to what I do personally in my working life. So the title of the book could be, for example, Learning from Evolutionary Patterns and Dealing with Disruptions and Emergence. That would be what I would do to combine a private and a working life.
That's a heck of a title for another quite long, frankly.
That's true.
But
yes.
you just spoke about evolution. It's really funny, because usually it's always, you know, if you start to think about what to say in the interview, what to ask, is you always try to link questions. And for this one, I haven't prepared any links, but you are delivering links, because my next and last and final question for our icebreaker question would be, which historical person would you like to cook with? That's a bit like evolution. And what would you cook? I mean, you could go way back and meet, I don't know, Thomas Edison and have a barbecue in the Central Park, for example. But what would you prefer?
Let me dig into history and also take a link there. My favorite person in history is Queen Elizabeth I.
Oh, really?
She was an important leader in Europe in the Renaissance times. And in Renaissance times, there was lots of change going on. A lot of new stuff coming up, even if it's called Renaissance. And what she managed is pick up what is called evolution, doing new things there for her people, of course, while managing that war only took place outside of her borders. So she kept peace inside Great Britain, inside the UK. Well, for example, just across the English Channel, so in the area of today's Benelux countries, they started an 80-year war at that time, which was leading to that 30-year war in overall Central Europe. And so instead of destruction, she really managed to foster a big step forward in the quality of life. And of course, also technology being picked up there, new types of boats is what came up during her time, etc. So that is where you see a link, for example, between evolution, Queen Elizabeth, and what my subject in life is as well. And if I would say with a wink of an eye, would I cook? I would say Irish stew. Because Ireland and Great Britain are linked to a certain instance. And she also already at that time struggled with that link. And we still see that struggle going on today.
Do you think that Elizabeth I is famous enough, or let's say her call in history is for all the things you just mentioned, that's pretty new to me, but kind of new for me. Do you think that the society in a retrospective treats her well?
Partly, yes. She is looked with a mixed kind of eyes. She was trying to keep, for example, religion at equal level. So Catholic and a Protestant religion, she tried to level out. So she was a kind of a human being, always trying to find a balance. She's very well equipped with balancing, so she is a master of management in that kind. But on the other side, it still was just after Middle Ages, and how she acted, of course, is still far away from what we believe today should be done. So if looking at, with our eyes at her, it's a mixed feeling. Looking at her from the eyes of her own people, I think she would be named great.
That's really interesting, but we need to keep focused. Actually, not that you are getting a call from the history department of the Freie University in Berlin or something like that. Let's change the topic. You said she was a great manager, and that is also a good lead for our first question, actually. We're having a lot of the world getting globalized quite fastly, actually, at the moment, and we're having a huge climate crisis. So how do you see actually the current development status of the high-speed rail cargo compared to the other options like air cargo?
Yeah, the high-speed cargo, that is very well on its way, I have to say. The ultimate goal, of course, is to provide fast, punctual, and safe delivery into the major centers in the major cities in a kind of environmental sensitive way, of course. So we at the DLR, we started to develop high-speed double-deck cargo trains a couple of years ago. We named it Next Train Generation Cargo. And the target of that development is to share high-speed routes between passenger and cargo operation in a kind of mixed mode. So that is where we say cargo is equal to a passenger operation. And in the logistic hubs where you load and unload, what we planned is automatic simultaneous loading and deloading on both level of that double-deck train within a clock rate of 3 minutes. So it's fast as such, and so very innovative. And the necessary technologies for this type of trains are currently being tested by the DLR, for example, single-wheel drive in Oberpfaffenhofen. Mm-hmm. What I see on the other hand is that China is proactively picking this up. So last December, maybe you know about this, the rolling stock builder CCRC from China, they unveiled a prototype of a 350 kilometer per hour 8-car train set aimed at that logistic market. Where we talk about CEP, that is a CEP, a courier express parcel service. And they have the same setting. So they have a roller floor, an automatic roller floor inside these trains. But they were quite clever. So they strategically took a passenger train, high-speed passenger train, and molded into a freight carrier using a single deck at that time. So they tackle the logistic principle first before taking the next step into a double-deck EMU.
Yeah.
And then it's the most economical approach because they have a high degree of reuse, of course, from the passenger
and
train.
It's cheap, yeah.
Cheaper. We have the identical parts in there. And so they can facilitate market entry and the market grows quite rapidly.
And there's also maybe one kind of, well, it could be used at the One Belt, One Road project, actually.
Yeah, that is what I call the Silk Road. I think the Asian call it the Silk
yeah.
Road from Asia to Europe. So looking at the 10,000 kilometers from Shanghai to Duisburg, for example, where we have a big turnover port in Germany, that will be served maybe in 10 years from now within 2 to 3 days. Currently, a train takes 14 days on that route. A plane takes 1 day. So 2 to 3 days is a really business-wise competitive because a plane costs 3,200 euros per ton, which is shipped by a plane, while we are only at 400 euros per ton being shipped by a train.
Okay, that's real numbers, and that's kind of interesting. So that's way cheaper. And you say it takes 10 years. Yeah.
10 years to really make that Silk Road from Shanghai to Duisburg high speed operation. It's quite of a constructive work which needs to be done. You see, you go through Russia there, for example, and some other countries,
yeah,
which have a complete different setting.
It's basically Russia and then it's Eastern Europe.
Eastern Europe, yes.
But yeah, also with like pretty
correct.
Cool.
Yeah, but what I see is that high speed freight trains, maybe that is also where your question is aiming at, that will have a market from roughly 600 kilometers and higher in that kind of range.
So it's actually it will be leading the freight business, actually the logistic business, within the next 10 years. So because it's cheaper and if the infrastructure is built, it could be like really, yeah, compared to air or ship, it could be
correct.
Could be a new
ship.
New
ship
leader.
Is of course cheaper, as I said, a rail roughly 400 euros per ton. A ship costs only 140 euros per ton, but it takes around about 29 days from Asia. And with a train, high-speed freight train, you will see 2 to 3 days in operation. And then secondly, what you see in China is they have the high-speed plan just released, the last one in August last year. They expect that by 2035, they have 70,000 kilometers of high-speed lines only in China. So within 15 years, while here in Germany, we plan with around about 2,300 kilometers. It's a big difference. So they are pushing much harder and dealing with that much faster.
So let us, we just looked in the future and let us, you as we learned in the intro, you have a lot of different targets. One is also, as I found on the website, is also intelligent mobility. So maybe let us talk about which digital trend offers the most potential for the change actually in the rail industry.
Yeah, so that falls back to my hobby profession, where you look at evolution. And looking at evolution, technical evolution, calculation performance has doubled every second year since 1949. So that is Moore's law. That is quite abstract, doubling performance every second year. If I take something, that is a VW Beetle, for example, from 1974. If that car would have been developed in the same pace like the microchip has been developed, it would have a top speed today of 4 billion kilometers per hour and cost 14 cent. So that is what is happening in the market of digitization. And the second aspect is digitization. Today, everyone talks about 5G. Connectivity technology, fifth generation connectivity technology being rolled out. If you just had been talking about 2013, 10 years from now, the Silk Route, then probably we will see introduction of the seventh or eighth generation, far away from the fifth, doubling performance every second year. And if we manage innovation, then we need to think in these generations, and implementation will be driven by that technical pace and, of course, by cost. Definitely is.
That's a good point, because you just mentioned the next 10 years, but also how will be our mobility consumption change? So what is the next vehicle actually that we will talk about at InnoTrans 2030? Is it the Hyperloop? Is that a system that could change our way of how we move actually?
Well, I digged into Hyperloop. Hyperloop energy-wise is a system which consumes half the energy of a modern high-speed train. That is good. It even consumes 5 to 6 times less than an airplane going the same distance. But cost-wise, it has no chance to compete with other modes. So it's a kind of fair attraction, maybe. This is what you can do with it. And it has, at least in Central Europe, also heavy restrictions in the construction, how to build it.
So it's too complicated to actually to build the infrastructure for that, for the benefit you actually would have.
It has to go high speed. So you can't build it along the railway lines or the highway because it's too curvy. And at the speed the Hyperloop goes, the curves need to be much shallower. So you have to build it somewhere straight through the countryside, and no chance to do this in Central Europe.
So then there would be only Flensburg, Munich.
For the example, would be but as you see, we already have problems to be built electric wire from northern Germany to southern Germany to transport electricity from the wind power plants from the northern seacoast. So a Hyperloop probably is a no-go.
Maybe Hyperloop is something for Batman then. Let us because yeah. Time is always running. Like the Hyperloop. Actually, this podcast episode is a bit like a Hyperloop. Last question: what will you actually present us at InnoTrans 2022?
Yeah, every technology which is connected for what I have been mentioning just recently. So, for example, we do the high speed cargo study at the InnoTrans 2022, of course. We look at technologies like a virtual coupling of trains, so to have more trains at the same time on one route to increase the, let's say, performance of the whole system. We would look at down to technologies like high power density electric motors to make these trains even more efficient, consuming less energy. And last but not least, of course, it's all about also the what we call stations in a modern talking, we say nodes. The railway stations, they are old, they're bottlenecks, and that we need to invest, of course, quite a lot of money, but need to do it strategically clever so that we can increase the throughput through railway stations and keeping still railway attractive. More attractive than it is today.
So that's actually the main task for the society part, making rail more attractive.
Correct. Yes, it is threefold. Linking it to your question about mobility consumption, we have to decarbonize. That is the Green Deal. Yeah. So there we have to see that we have enough regenerative energy for rail operation. That is quite a huge task, of course. Where we don't have overhead wires, we have to replace diesel trains by, let's say, probably hydrogen trains, I guess, or battery electric trains. And then energy efficiency, of course, we need to increase as well, because the degree of utilization today is still too low for the overall system. So that is where linked to the station discussion, we have to increase this.
So we learn actually there's plenty of things to do actually, and we're really looking forward to meeting you and the German Aerospace Center at InnoTrans 2022. Thank you for the interview. It was really fun actually, because we got some good points, but still there's a lot of work to do. Yeah, thank you, Professor Siefkes, for the interview.
Thank you as well, Tim Wegner. I'm also looking forward for the InnoTrans 2022, hoping that it will be not in a virtual affair, that we will meet there in real life. Thank you.
So this is it for today. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you again, Professor Dr. Ziefkes, for the interview. And everyone, we have audience and listeners all over the world. We are really, really amazed. There are people in Australia, for example, listening right now to this podcast. There are people in Indonesia, in Latin America, in Brazil, Argentina, Chile. There are people in Northern America. There are people in Europe. Hi to everyone. We are really happy that you like our podcast. And if you have any further suggestions, simply write us an email at podcast@innotrans.de or write us on LinkedIn or Twitter. And yeah, we will be back. That is the good news. We will be back at the 10th of August, actually, with another I don't want to say too much, but it will be a great interview partner. Till then, simply stay on track and we will hear again. Have a great summer. Bye.